Jesus gives his disciples, not just those 11 or 12, but all of his disciples, which includes you and me. If we belong to Jesus, that's you and that's me. We're his disciples. So he gives his disciples what we would call his farewell message to us. And he gives us some of our marching orders as well.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse through the Bible. Jesus prepares for His crucifixion as our study of John continues in chapter 13. Here's Pastor Bob.
Now, John writes, now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Jesus knows that his hour has come. If you would like to go back and read through the Gospels again, how many times were we told they tried to arrest him, but they couldn't because his hour had not yet come? They tried to stone him to death, but they couldn't do it because his hour had not yet come. They tried to take him and make him their king, but it wouldn't work because his hour had not come yet. Finally, Jesus knows now his hour has come. Here it is. He goes to the cross. He will go to the cross. Pay the price for all sin and die there. He will pay the price for all sin. He became sin, all sin, and paid the price in full. He would be buried and then 3 days later rise again. And finally, 40 days after that, he will go back to the Father. I'll read it again. Before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father. He's going to pay the price for sin. He's going to die, be completely dead, be buried 3 days, and rise from the dead, spend a little time with people, and then go back to heaven because nobody wants him here except the ragged few. He was rejected. So he goes back to the Father. But notice it goes on, having loved his own, which were in the world. See, remember, we are his own by grace through faith. We are in the world, but we're not of it. That doesn't mean that we don't like some songs that Jesus didn't write. I know some people that they can't fathom it. It's true. It's true. If I could get that into my own heart, that he loves me, if you could get that, you'd stop listening to everybody that tells you he doesn't or that finds all kinds of faults with you. If you want to know my faults, you don't have to look for them. I'll tell you what they are. I got a million. And if I'm missing some, I know you'll point them out. But he loves me just the same. He loves you just the same. Why? He paid the price for you and for me. Can you accept that? Will you accept that? We say, oh, what does that mean? We don't have to be good anymore? You've never been good, and I haven't. We'll never be good until we're in heaven. But our goal is to get up every day and walk that way, true. Now, I'm not going to ask you how you're doing. I'm just saying that's the heart's desire. He loved his own. He loved them until the end. You know, that the language means he loved them literally all the way through. When I got here, he loved me. I didn't know a thing about him. I was too little. And he loved me all the way through. When you got here, you didn't know. Maybe you've been saved practically forever, but nobody's saved from birth. You've got to receive Jesus Christ sooner or later. And he loved you all the way through, every bit. And he's going to take you all the way through as well. But we are his own. Underline that. His own. Number one, We are his own by creation. What do I mean by that? The very life that I have came from him. I am his own. You are his own. You can reject him if you want, but he created you. He made you. He gave you life. So we're his own. The very life we have comes from him. Number two, we are his own by redemption. He went to the cross to pay the price for anyone willing to say yes. And so I received Jesus in 1973. You could probably remember, even if you can't remember the exact date, you can remember you received Jesus too. At that point, you are not just his own because he created you. You are his own by redemption. He purchased you. He paid a price and bought you back, redeemed you back, us back to the Father. Number three, we are his own by the Father's gift. That's what John writes in John 17:6. Jesus says it in his high priestly prayer. I have manifested thy name unto the men which you gave me out of the world. Thine they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept thy word. So that he's not just talking about just those 11 that are left. He's talking about every one of us. Think about it. We're his own because we surrendered our lives and the Father gave us to Jesus Christ, right? But then there's a number four I got here. We are his own by right. What do I mean? He had to work in our hearts and our consciences, convicting us of sin, and that led to repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. So we are born of the Spirit and made children of God. So when it says, having loved his own, we are really his own. And he loved them, how long? Until the end. He loved them all the way through. What exactly does that mean? What does he mean to the end? Well, first of all, will he love us through all eternity? Will he? Yes. And how long when does eternity end? It doesn't end. And so he must be saying something here that's got, you know, God loves you and he sought you and he bought you. You know, you're his own, but he loves you to the end. What does that mean? See, his promise is that he will love us for all eternity, and eternity never ends. That's his promise. He doesn't just love me now and get tired of me in about 6 weeks after he's heard all my jokes 10 times. He doesn't get tired of me. He doesn't get tired of you. People do. Jesus doesn't. That's his promise. So what is the end? Here, it looks like that the end is the end of his public ministry. What did he come down here to do? He came down here. God Almighty became flesh and dwelt among us to go to the cross, to live, to teach us, to show us our Father and the heart of our Father, and then to go to the cross and suffer and die. And he's now going to go back home to the Father. So he loves them to the end of his public ministry. Does he quit loving you as soon as he gets to heaven and goes, whew, thanks, I'm good to be home? No, he is making intercession for you right now, as an advocate, standing on your behalf when any charge is hurled at you. And I used to think that would be just charges of the devil. But if you've been a Christian for a long time, you realize charges come from Christians too. And Jesus is our advocate for all of it, all of it. I wouldn't leave home without him if I were you. Verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. I'd just like to point out to you that there weren't just 13 men in the upper room. There were 13 men and Satan in the upper room. And he put into Judas Iscariot's heart, And by the way, if you look up the original Greek here, supper being ended, the devil throwing into the heart of Judas Iscariot, throwing. And remember how we're told the shield of faith protects from the darts of the enemy? Maybe it's something like that, but the language says, and the supper being ended, the devil having thrown into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he has come from God and went to God, that's very important. Jesus, what? Knows that the devil put it into Judas's heart. Jesus knows that the Father has given all things to his hands, that Jesus knows he came from the Father and he is going back to the Father. Knowing that, having all that knowledge, he got up from supper, laid aside his outer garments, and took a towel and wrapped it around himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he had wrapped around his waist. Jesus knows his hour has come. How many times did we hear it? His hour was not yet. His hour is like, hey, do a miracle, Jesus. They're out of wine. My hour has not yet come. In other words, and you hear that all the way through. Now, here it is, the very thing he came to earth for. Now, his hour has come. He knows it. He also knows Judas will betray him tonight, right after dinner. Judas will head out. And we learn by reading all four Gospels that Judas had been plotting against Jesus. He'd been trying to come up with a way to make a little money out of this and kind of make a deal with the powers that be. So he's plotting against Jesus. And now the devil, this is Satan. This is Lucifer, called the devil and Satan. The devil himself throws it into Judas's heart. What does he throw? That dart that says, do it now. Do it tonight. Judas has been waiting and looking for a way to get this done, and the devil throws it in his heart. Now, let's get this done. Jesus knows all that. He knows it. He's not caught off guard or shocked and stunned. And I love this about Jesus. He's always prayed up. Have you noticed that? He'll still go and pray more, but he's always ready. You can't sneak up on the guy. You can't get anything around him. You're not going to catch him, metaphorically speaking, flat-footed. He's on this, right? So, the devil was in the upper room that night. Judas has been walking with Jesus. Everybody hear this. It's for me, and it's for you, and it's for anybody who really will take this to heart. If you don't, it's just going to be words. Judas has been walking with Jesus for the past 3.5 years, listening to him, hanging out with him. When the crowds are gone and they're sitting there at the campfire at night, right before they go to sleep, they're just talking about things. They're just talking. They're asking questions. They're joking with one another. They're singing a few songs. They're hanging out 3.5 years. He saw the miracles. There are only a couple that Judas didn't see that Jesus did privately with the few. But he saw the miracles. So there's a man who's been 3.5 years walking with Jesus 24/7 all the time and saw the miracles. He heard the teachings. He was just as shocked as the Pharisees and the disciples are going, well, Lord, if that's the case, who can go to heaven? Remember, Judas was right in the big middle of all that. He knew it. Here to teach you, he watched Jesus and he watched how Jesus loved people. Jesus didn't call people out for very much at all, like we are prone to do. Jesus just accepts them right the way they are, and he'll ask them questions. And usually when he asks them a question, it's not for an answer. It's to cause them to think so their heart will become workable, pliable. And that's the way Jesus does it. So he heard these teachings. He watched, Judas watched Jesus just love people. He touched people that the disciples wouldn't get near. He touched, physically touched lepers. Disciples, you catch the disease. You wouldn't do that. When some people tried to get to Jesus, the disciples shoved them away. Parents wanted to bring their kids. The disciples just tried to rush them off. And Jesus, no, he loved. And so Judas watched Jesus love people. He watched Jesus take care of the people. And they came up with, my finger hurts. Jesus stopped that from hurting. I can't see. He fixed it so they could see. He didn't turn anyone away, and they weren't required to believe in him. In other words, they didn't have to pay the doctor for the healing. Get it? Many of those that were healed would cry out on that day, coming up soon, crucify him. Jesus didn't, from the cross, go, you hurt my feelings. I healed you, you turkey. You don't see that from Jesus. You see that from us. You don't see that from our Lord. And all this, 3.5 years, walking with Jesus, watching the miracles, listening to all those teachings, watching him love people, watching him take care of people, and he never gave his heart to Jesus. He never gave his heart to Jesus. You would almost think that's impossible, except here it is in black and white and a little bit red. Here it is. So you and me and everybody else, we can tell everybody whatever we want to tell them. But God knows who are his own and who aren't. He knows that Judas is not his. And he lets him hang around, and he lets him stay, and he lets him have a position in the ministry and carry the money. He lets him do all these things, knowing that he wouldn't believe. And so it might shock you when Paul writes to the Corinthians, and you, oh yeah, well them, they had issues. Well, listen, do we have issues? He says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves. Judas is in the upper room, and Jesus washed his feet, knowing Judas would betray him. You see, that's what love does. It doesn't, Jesus told him already in chapter 12, I'm not here to judge you. Judging is coming. But I'm not doing it here now. I'm giving you another chance. I'm giving you another chance. I'm giving you another chance. But judgment is coming. So 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Is he telling them he thinks they're not safe? No, in the next verse, I won't read it to you, but he's going to say, I believe you are, but you know what? When was the last time you just stopped and we get our eyes off of everybody else and we just look at our own lives, our own hearts? He says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Test your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus is in you, except you be reprobates. Judas never believed. We don't want to be people that hang around the church for years and years and years and never truly surrender our own hearts. And here's something that you all know. I know it. We all know it. Nobody knew it but Jesus. Every one of those disciples would have vouched for Judas 100%, say he's a good guy. How do you know? I've been around him for years. He's just a good guy. But he wasn't a good guy. In his heart, he was lost. So we examine our own hearts. The thing is, the heart is desperately wicked. Above all things, Jeremiah 17. And who could know it? So how do you do that? You take it to the Lord. True? Lord, here is my heart. You search my heart. You test my heart. Well, Jesus, God Almighty in human flesh, knew that the Father had given him all things. And all in the Greek means all. Jesus is in control of everything. True? Right there. Right in the upper room. Not finally when he got to heaven. God has given him all things. He knows he's going to go to the cross. He knows he will suffer and die. And he says, I'm on the way. It's as good as done. You'll see that as he talks with us from here on out. It's as good as done. Here, I'm going. And Peter's going to try and stop him. Peter was bossy. He was kind of a leader. But then he gets this idea in his head. I think this is good and that's bad. And then he tries to push it on Jesus or push it on others. And poor Peter, we can all be just like him. He opens his mouth to exchange feet. We've seen him do it. But we're glad. Secretly, we're glad he did because we see ourselves and we go, that Peter, what a dope, right? But we learn, hopefully. Hopefully, we're learning. So Jesus, God Almighty in human flesh, knew that the Father had given him all things. He knew he had come from the Father, and he knew he is returning to the Father. That's what we just read. He knows all that. So he is God Almighty in human flesh. All authority in heaven and earth is his to do what he will. All of that. And this is God Almighty in human flesh in the upper room, and the devil's hanging out there too. And Jesus let him. He knew he had come from heaven, and he knew he was returning to the Father. Jesus knew exactly what was coming, and by his simple trust in his Father, he knew how it was all going to turn out. He would die, willingly die. And then I think about me, maybe you think about you, how we balk if someone mentions even going forward a little bit. Let's try this. Forget it. I bet got to pray 3 weeks because I don't know if I want to step out there. What if I fall? What if I fail? What if I look like a dope? You're always failing. You're always falling. You look dopey. Get used to it and start stepping out in faith if you believe it's God. And there you go. But Jesus, he's not worried at all. He knows how it's going to turn out. So he gets up from the supper table. The God of all creation gets up from the supper table, sets aside his outer garment, and puts a towel around his waist, pours water into a basin, and begins to wash his disciples' feet. I don't know how many he washed before he got to Peter, but Peter is watching him wash feet. Now that is embarrassing Peter. I think it would have embarrassed all of us. We believe he's God, almighty in human flesh too. We still don't quite understand everything, but Jesus knows exactly who he is, and he sets aside his garments, and he puts his, a towel around his waist, and he washes their feet, and he dries them off with the towel. God Almighty takes the lowest position in the room. And what do we catch ourselves trying to do? Sort of the opposite. What's going on here is amazing, and the disciples have no idea what's happening. He gets up, sets aside his outer garment, puts on a towel around his waist, pours water on a basin, starts washing disciples' feet, knowing that he is God Almighty in human flesh. Knowing that all things belong to him, the Father has given everything into his hands. Knowing that he will rule and reign over all things for all eternity. Jesus Christ will rule and reign. Jesus voluntarily takes the lowest position, washing the feet of his disciples, a servant by choice.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.